Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Let's get the inside story. Here's Sabres head coach, Don Granato. The Don Granato Show is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Now with head coach Don Granato, here's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Yes, Mr. Granato's on the Western Hotline, so we'll explain the bomb cyclone in a little bit. This is an offshoot of the atmospheric
Maybe
river.
Maybe he knows.
We'll see if Don's got science in his background. First off, he is joining us, the Sabres head coach on the Western Hotline. Mr. Granato, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
How are you at science? Do you know what a bomb cyclone is?
No idea. And I didn't listen, so I really have no idea.
Well, we have on demand, so you can always go back if you miss a minute of the show, Don, because yesterday we talked about the atmospheric river. Don't worry about it. In fact, it was on the West Coast, but it's gone or leaving.
I'm guessing the Bills didn't play this week.
No, they didn't. I don't know how you can figure that one out. Hey, congratulations on the win last night, and of course the fast start to the season. So, you know, a lot was made after the game, Don, about, you know, it wasn't going well there in the second period. Then it began to turn in the last few minutes, and I know you were asked by the media what your message was to the team during the second intermission, but it did start to turn before the intermission. Were you saying something to the guys on the bench that maybe started to turn things around, you felt?
Yeah, I was probably more vocal than typical on the bench yesterday, and yeah, I felt our guys needed a push. They weren't playing, you know, the way they can play, I guess is the best way to say it. And for that, I was doing what I could from, you know, that moment on to urge them.
You know, you had talked about, you were asked and then talked in the post game about, you know, giving a team too much respect. And the Boston game was brought up, and you said you felt that was an issue against the Bruins. What did you see from your team, or if they were, quote, giving too much respect to the opponent, how does it translate into what your team is well doing or not doing at that point?
Yeah, it was, the first, I think, thing that jumps out is hesitation. You know, we weren't on the attack. We weren't aggressive enough. We were waiting for the attack to come against us, and you know those are an absolute recipe for disaster. I don't care how good or bad you are, you just can't sit back. And you know, you've heard me say it lots of, you know, we need to play with some passion, we need to play with some energy, and that really goes hand in hand. I mean, that's a big reason why, because if you're not doing those things, you're on your heels more often than not. And you know that we weren't awful by any means. You know, and I don't think it was overwhelming because we defended pretty good, and certainly Craig Anderson was great and had to be great early. He was in the zone, but we were close. And you know, if you're overwhelmed and you start pushing as a coach, it's delicate situation. But didn't feel that was the case. Didn't feel like our guys were overwhelmed. We just didn't realize we weren't going hard enough.
You were getting some good chances. Skinner gets that first shot. Bjork had a really good chance. But how important was the Kajula goal to, well, not only you feel a little bit better because you played better the last few minutes, but you also go into that intermission leading?
Yeah, you know, that was what my concern. I mean, we're going into the intermission leading, but we still weren't to our game. The Kajula goal helped back our opposition off, I believe. It made them like, these guys can do something here. Because we've just thrown a few punches, and, you know, we thought we had these guys, and Kujula comes down and scores. But we still needed to get to our game. We had some, you know, individuals pushing harder for us, and that was leading us in that direction. But we weren't to our game. And the third period for me was all about that, is just getting to that and starting to dictate things as units of five or in units of five. And our guys really took that challenge and did great with it.
I think the third period, one of the things that was nice to see, Don, was the team. You didn't sit back with the lead. It's not like you got a 2-1 lead and said, all right, guys, Anderson's having a great night. Let's just play it safe. Did you do that because it was Tampa and you knew you needed to score? Or is that generally what you believe? You just, you know, you keep attacking even with a lead in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, I believe that. Teams are more vulnerable to giving up goals when they have to press. And so, you know, but, you know, last night's game was a little bit, there was more to it than just that. Like I said, we hadn't played through two periods the way I knew we could play. And it was more important for me, and I think more important for our guys to get to our game. We say that a lot, get to our game. And we want to be in situations where we dictate. We dictate the pace. We set the pace or the tone. And, you know, we needed to do that regardless of score. That was the most important thing going in. And we felt, you know, once you do that, you have a much greater control over the game. So it kind of worked hand in hand in that regard as well.
We're with Don Granato, Sabres head coach, Western Hotline. And one of the other things, I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier with Paul Hamilton, Don, the support, the puck support from teammates that you're receiving right now. If you could talk a little bit about that, and not whether it's defensive zone, offensive zone, defense with forwards, whatever. It seems like the team has been very good at having a second person there to maybe pick up a puck if you win a puck battle, or get a puck, a loose puck back, whatever, to get possession. You're getting help from a second or sometimes even a third guy in the area.
Yeah, I think I've even thanked Paul for noticing that, because we work on that. So when you're coaching, you're in the trenches, you don't get time to, you know, really stand back too far and look at things. So when other people pick up on things that you're putting so much time and energy in to work on, it's kind of nice. And I did thank him for noticing that and in a good way, because again, our guys, you know, we want our team to play with that passion. And for that, you have to play for your teammate, and you have to reverse it, and we try to reverse it. When you hop on the ice, do the other four guys on the ice with you work for you? You know, get me the puck. I want to skate down the ice, and you get me the puck. Or do you work for them? And if we get that mentality where you work for the other four, things will work out, and life will be much easier. And, you know, our guys have really embraced that. And, you know, the camaraderie is good. You guys enjoy being with each other. I know they're happy coming to the rink this morning just because they can get to see their buddy or buddies. And that's important to us, and it goes a long way in playing harder for each other and elevating, especially in tough times. And, you know, that was a challenge last night, obviously some tough times, and they embraced, you know, they bound together, and that was nice to see.
Don, I think one of the cliches sometimes we hear might be when a team is struggling, it's good to go on a road trip. And you guys are doing really well so far, but you're going on a road trip. You know, I wonder the timing of it, if you think it's a good time to kind of get away. I mean, whether it's a young team and a bonding opportunity or whatever it might be, but a good, healthy road trip here early in the season.
Yeah, it is a good time. It's a great time, and we're excited about it. And I will add to that, you know, part of what we do and what we have to do is everything has to be good. Everything. Every situation. Like last night, that was awesome that we went through that. We had a team that actually took it to us in the first period. And, you know, by the way, they were the Stanley Cup champs. And we want those challenges. It's the only way for us to really, really get better. You know, and, you know, I wish we played them again today. And they were even more pissed off, because I believe our guys will just get better through situations. So, you know, I talked a lot about coaching in the moment. And, you know, we don't know what the moment is and what the next moment is, but we have to have the confidence we're ready for it. And our guys, have to just continue embracing that.
When it comes to this kind of thing, is it about setting routines too? I mean, you know, you took over on an interim basis last year. I mean, part of being a coach is not only, you know, on-ice stuff, but delegating how you're going to handle the travel, the rest, the practice, the morning skate, all that. So are you looking to, I don't know, kind of install your own off-ice road trip system or anything like that?
Yeah, no, not much. But, I mean, there are different procedures, protocols, all that stuff when you're on the road. I will say what I think of when you bring that up is, and I haven't mentioned, it's really important to mention, is the staff around here is amazing. I talk a lot about Matty Ellis and Danny Girardi last year. They're both back. I was just sitting talking to Janet, Danny Girardi, 2 minutes ago before we started the call, and it's so nice to walk in and see these type of people all around the organization helping, all our guys and helping us forge an identity for our own group here. So, and it's fun to get on the road with your staff. Like I said, I really feel very fortunate to have the staff we have, and I think our players feel that too, the same as me. And the road is fun when you have that camaraderie.
How about you're talking about staff and throughout the organization. One thing that's happening right now, I mean, Sabres fans, of course, paying attention to the Sabres, they're also hearing good things from Rochester and how things are going down there. We had a conversation last week with Seth Appert. How does it work for you keeping tabs on or finding out how things are going down there for some of the younger players that are growing within the organization, whether that's a conversation with Kevin Adams, a conversation with Seth Appert? How do the two teams basically communicate? How often does that happen, and how do those conversations generally go?
Yeah, we communicate often, but there's no real regularity. Like, we don't schedule a Tuesday morning meeting or anything like that. But I talked to Seth maybe 2 days ago, text, and then we called. And probably every few days or every day or so after a game or a weekend, we talk. And I watch what I can on the Internet. Obviously, the games are all on that. And for me, I think it's important for those players to know from us here, they're still a part of the whole process of what's going on here. I mean, we have some pretty talented players down there. And I spent years in the American Hockey League as a coach. And I have, an immense amount of respect for what that league can do to help develop players. Players can go through that league and come in literally on day one and be ready. In the ride to work this morning, I heard about Jordan Binnington, who, was a career American League player. And then all of a sudden, a couple months later, he's winning a Stanley Cup with St. Louis. And, that's the impact that can happen with that league. So we love being that they're geographically close, and I hope to be down there soon to actually watch some games.
We're wrapping up our conversation with Don Granato here on our Western Hotline. I did want to ask you about your goalie last night because he's off to a magnificent start. You mentioned how well he played last night, a huge part of the win. You also referenced after the game, Don, his leadership. Can you talk a little bit more about what you're getting in terms of that in addition to the on-ice performances from Craig Anderson?
Yeah, he's a great leader, and we have lots of great leaders. Oki and Zemgus up front, and Hag and Pizik at the back end just jumped to mind, and obviously, Craig in the net. When you're that age and you come back to play, and he didn't play much last year, there's a deep love and passion for the game, and you are well aware of the commitment, to play at this level and perform at this level. So just those traits alone show you that he's a leader by example. But he's certainly more than that. He has a lot of poise to him. Obviously, he's got reason to be confident, but his messages are come across with a real level of poise and calm that I like and I want for our team, and I think it's great for our team. And so, he's just a good fit for us right now, and he's played really, really well, obviously, through the early going.
And the other guy I wanted to ask you about quickly was Rasmus Dahlin. He had 23 minutes last night. He's in your top pair. He had 25, I think, in both games against Boston and New Jersey. How do you feel he's holding up and handling that role, that responsibility, and that amount of ice time right now?
Better and better. I think with that amount of ice time, what he's learning is, to even be more efficient. Sometimes when guys don't get a lot of ice time, they press everywhere because they're, I want more ice time. And then when you get more ice time, you actually calm quite a bit and say, oh, boy, I better learn how to play efficient now because I'm getting more ice time than maybe my body can handle if I'm running around as I did earlier. So it forces him to play smarter, and he is smart. So I don't mind it. I don't worry about it, certainly not yet. He's not taking heavy hits. He's smart enough to avoid that, and even when he does, he knows it's coming ahead of time. So, you know, I think the wear and tear factor, we haven't seen it yet. I don't expect to see much, difference from the minutes because he's playing more minutes. I think he's managing it very well.
Lastly, Cousins. Is he okay after the bloody nose Stamkos shoulder last night?
Yeah, that was not fun to watch, and I will not comment on that anymore on that regard. But he was fine after the incident. He was just ticked off, and I don't mind him getting a little ticked off, but I wish it wouldn't have happened that way. We'll know this morning. None of the guys have come in this morning. Obviously, every single night you have bumps and bruises that you just can't assess till the next morning. But that one I would expect that there'd be nothing wrong with him this morning in regard.
One quick follow-up on Cousins, if I can, Don. We talked with Paul Hamilton about him. He scored the goal against the Devils, and it was his first goal in 24 games or whatever it was. And that number surprised me. When I said that it surprised me it had been that long to Paul, Paul said Cousins knew exactly how many games it was, like that it was burning him. He was really on a mission to get back in that spot. And I think he's a player we'll obviously talk about a lot going forward. And I wonder, what you could say about his knowledge of he hadn't scored, his drive, all that kind of drives him as a player.
Yeah, his drive exceeds his experience by miles. So there's going to be a complication there. He wants more now, but he doesn't yet have the experience. And his skill level is really, really high, but your skill level is not really effective in this league until you gain experience and knowledge. And, that's where we started this conversation, I think, somewhere about Rochester and the value of playing in the American League. It's not easy for a guy like that to jump from junior hockey, bypass the American League, and come into the NHL. You miss a lot of developmental things that you can take care of without being in the limelight and maybe being held accountable for or called out for. In the NHL, you're held accountable for those, called out for those. And that, that presents a challenge. So that's where, with us, we want to support him through that process, knowing that here's a young guy that doesn't have experience yet, but he has this incredible ceiling and incredible talent right now. He just needs time to learn situations and the game. And, I don't look into things like that, so I wouldn't have known he hadn't scored in that long. It doesn't matter to me. It's just the next game, what he can do better than the last game and keep moving forward. And I have full faith he's gonna be an amazing player bit by bit and go that direction for us. So it's a long process, but he's been great.
It kind of sounds like the idea is you have to tell players that are inexperienced to go easy on themselves in this case.
Yeah, we went through it with Darlene. They press. They want – they're so used to success that they feel like they can just snap their fingers and go score. But you're playing against the best in the world now. There is no weak link. And a lot of times these players, the previous level, they exploited all the weak links. But there are no more at the NHL. So they have to learn all their tactics in a different way. And again, that's a process. And he's going through it, but he's smart. He gets better every game. So, yeah, that's really fun to watch him be wrong.
Well, Don, congratulations again on the win last night. Continued success out west with the upcoming trip.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week.
You too. That is Don Granato on the Wester Hotline, and his segment with us was brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And again, a lot of, we learned this, I think, Jeremy, last season when Don took over in the coaching position. We had a chance to get him on each week. A lot of things that we would hear were things you would like to hear from the head coach. And, the stuff about attacking with the lead in the third and wishing they played Tampa today because they'd be more pissed off. And I want challenges like that for our team. Was it Tampa or Pittsburgh? One of the games last year where he's throwing the young guys out. against the top lines and said, hey, you got to learn, right?
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh, like,
play against
how are
Crosby.
They going to learn? Go play against Crosby, right? And I love that attitude that we hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
And even the stuff about Cousins, I didn't think about that. That's a really great point. You know, Quinn's in Rochester and is off to a good start. Paterka's in Rochester. He's off to a good start. Even though he had a good camp, they sent him to Rochester, and he might be back here at some point this season. With Cousins, I didn't really think much about that, that you go to Rochester in part for that experience to learn, maybe learn how to fail or learn what works, what doesn't work. And then, you know, maybe you're a little bit more at ease when you go to the next level, whereas Cousins is he's learning on the fly at the top level of hockey, and that's a lot of pressure and a lot to ask of a young kid.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, does any individual player on this team have a lot of pressure on them?
Cousins would be the guy. I think if there was a guy that was at the top, well, Dulling would be at the top of the list. I think Cousins would be second.
Yeah, I don't think there's any pressure on almost any player externally. Internally, you know, Cousins might put a lot of pressure on himself, and that's kind of the conversation we're having there with Don. But it's not like Sabres fans. Did anybody say or bring up 24 games without a goal?
I didn't even know he went that
long.
That's
what I mean.
Yeah.
There's almost no external pressure. You know, a lot of our conversations are about like, hey, they look better, and that's good enough. You know, there's not really a very bright spotlight on, I mean, Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt last year in those 20 games looked so good that people kind of, all right, let's take a look at this. You know, it does not seem like, and of course, winning will help with this, but you know, there's nobody to call and say, this guy will never make it. This guy's no good. It's still so early for a lot of these guys. And for the veterans, the expectations on, you know, Oposo and Girgensons are just that they put in an honest effort and bring these young guys along in the right way. So it's one thing the Sabres, I think, have working for them is that there isn't pressure. You know, this could be a point about the arena, too. It's not a 19,000-seat building that's full of people saying,
right,
come on. Do something, which they've had to deal with the last couple of years. And again, that's their own doing. But now they have the ability to be a little bit more, you know, you could say it's underdog, plucky underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
It could also just be they have shed a lot of the pressure.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, in the discussion of them getting off to the good start, and you pointed out, not surprisingly, they're seeing a lot of backup goalies. They saw the backup goalie for Tampa last night. Is there a point where it starts to shift, or if they win a certain number of games that other teams, I mean, is that going to continue, or would you think at some point they start playing, okay, we can't just, this is not an easy 2 points, play the backup goalie, we got to put the starter out there at times. It's a good schedule, this trip. I mean, it's a good chance to get a few more points, because I think San Jose right now is playing the best out of the 4 teams they're going to see on this trip, you know. LA's off to a rough start. Byfield's hurt, right? Didn't he get hurt in the preseason? So not even going to see him. Anaheim, LA, and Seattle are all kind of so far this season. The Sharks have been, well, like the Sabres, one of the surprise teams. And then they catch Detroit at home after the West Coast trip. So maybe that's the next 10 points. Can you snag 6, 7 of the next 10 points? That'd be a nice spot to be in.
Look, quick note checking
the schedule
on Alexander Ovechkin. He has 7 goals in 6 games. We just not that long ago celebrated or whatever when he passed Marcel Dion.
Yeah.
He's now 4 goals away from Brett Hull.
Wow.
So he's going to move up again, what, in like 5 more games? What's he going to score, 50?
Can you imagine
that? He's
got
7 in 6 games.
Right. He's not slowing down at any point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 803-0550. What do you like that you're seeing so far from the Sabres? We were discussing that. Anything else you want to get to, that's fine. Lines are always open. You can contribute to the discussion. You can change the discussion. Got a question, bring it in. That's cool, too. We'll pick the Bills when we get back. WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, we've come in here a number of times here and really had very similar results in that we're not getting the game when we have a chance to get the football game that's out there for us. And it's really difficult because we're so close to winning games and we haven't been able to do it at home for sure, which is a real shock to me. I'm shocked that we're not able to do that. But we're still trying to get these games finished properly. You know, that means you don't make the mistakes that give them a chance. You know, you kick the ball, you don't make the penalty, and you don't eat the football for losses when you're in the right positions and stuff. So there's things that we can really fix, and we're just it may not look like it from the outside, but from the inside, it feels like it's really close.
The really close 2-5 Seattle Seahawks losing last night to New Orleans. That's their head coach, Pete Carroll.
You know what? I don't know if anybody's ever called him this before. I bet they have. Shouldn't he be known as Punt Carroll? They're a team that loves to punt. Yeah.
Is he right up there with Mr. Marone?
In the post-game press conference last night that, as a head coach with Russell Wilson, he's like, I've been a head coach here a long time. I probably wouldn't be without Russell Wilson.
At least he admitted that.
He knows that. And Sean Payton with the Saints, too. Like, yeah. That's an offense. You know, say what you will about Jameis Winston. He threw for 5,000 yards with Bruce Arians, and now they have the worst offense in football almost. I mean, one of them.
Yeah.
They can't get a pass completed to a receiver. So I don't know if it's just because Winston's playing a system that isn't necessarily tailored to his strengths, but they're not getting production out of Jameis Winston, who in his career has turned it over, but has produced.
But through for yards, through for touchdowns,
5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and this year they can't move the ball outside of giving it to Alvin Kamara and passing it to Alvin Kamara.
Let's hope it stays that way through at least Thanksgiving. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
Yeah, it's you picking the Bills. So.
Which, by the way, is brought to you by Admar Construction and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. Zach, ready to go?
A tradition unlike any other.
You know why people listen? They listen because they know I can't stand doing it, and they listen because I'm going to be annoyed. That's it. That's the only reason.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Another revenge game, Bills at Titans, Monday Night Football.
I think the Bills will have a good offensive night, and they will win this football game.
20 seconds on the play clock, makes a snap, dives forward, and the Titans stop him. They stop him short of the goal line.
This is why I don't do a betting advice show, because everybody would be homeless.
God, I hope the Steelers don't suck this year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So, speaking of that quarterback sneak, as the week has gone on, the week and a half has happened since then, or I guess week and a day, I think more and more that Josh went the wrong way. He was supposed to go to the right, and he went to the left.
Should he have? Okay, I just thought he was going to go behind Morse, and maybe you get a little push from behind.
Well, there are a couple different breakdowns, and there's a couple comments from McDermott about it just seems like that maybe he went the wrong way. He was supposed to go right and he went left. And either way, he lost his footing. So maybe if he goes right, he loses his footing anyway.
Yeah.
Disappointing way to lose that game.
Yes,
but anyway, now it's time to show the league that was a fluke.
Hey, what's McDermott's record out of the bye? Are they undefeated?
Yeah, asking me these things right on the fly like
that. I'll look
that.
It up. Right. Go ahead. I don't mean to sidetrack us. I'm just curious.
They've lost their last two going to the bye.
Yeah, Arizona, and then what would have been the one the year before? Oh,
this
right,
one.
This one. Right. Yeah, I got to look that up. But
anyway,
after the bye, okay.
The Bills are 4-2. The AFC is wide open. I do have an email from a listener that asks when we have you start picking the playoffs, and I think we'll maybe around Thanksgiving, maybe ish. You know, once we get division leaders and some seeds, it's still too early to do that.
Do we base that on when the networks go to the In the Hunt graphic?
Man, that's not a bad idea.
When they put that up, that's when we start going to playoffs?
But maybe December, you know, once you're only down to picking 3-4 games,
yeah,
then we'll add in, you know, hypothetical playoffs. But for now, we still got enough season left.
Yeah.
So, Bills, Dolphins, Sunday, Halloween, get your best costume ready, and see if the Bills play the Dolphins. By the way, Will Fuller will not likely play in this game.
Oh, is that right?
A broken finger, apparently.
No kidding.
Maybe keep him out. Yeah, so there was thought that he could play. It looks like maybe he won't. Tua played well in the last game. You know, I want to have – do we have a minute to talk about the Dolphins at any point this
show?
I'm on
the clock till 10, so take
okay.
your time.
Are we open at like 9?
Maybe. We might okay. have Matt Bove on at 9.
Okay, I can ask him this question too. This is fine. I think the Dolphins get picked on a lot. I mean, that's fine. What should they do?
In terms of
– What should they do?
I'm saving
Should they
the answer. Okay.
cut bait on Tua? Should they – they don't have their first-round pick. They have the Niners' first-round pick. It just seems like a lot of people like to poke fun at the Dolphins and their quarterback plan. Should they trade for Deshaun Watson? Should they keep trying to build around Tua? I just don't know what they're exactly supposed to do right now in the in this moment. Anyway, yeah. Bills Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, really, it shouldn't. They should win for a number of reasons. You're right. The Miami has been better last two games with Tua at quarterback than they were with Jacoby Brissett. I thought he had a nice game actually. In defeat against the Atlanta Falcons, they're still not stretching the field, but they're moving the ball. They're putting together some long drives. He's been efficient with his passing for the most part. So their offense looks a little better. They still don't really have a run game. But honestly, they're having a lot of problems on the defense. Their front seven's not good. They're not generating pressure. The secondary, which is supposed to be outstanding, is not playing well. They're near the bottom of the league in passing yards, passing defense. So I think, you know, the Bills and the receivers have a favorable matchup in this game on Sunday. I see the Bills winning, and I see them actually covering the spread.
Is the bomb cyclone going to make its way here by Sunday? What are we looking at for Sunday? It's raining all day today.
No, I didn't check today. Last time I checked, it was yesterday. As of yesterday, I'll check again. It was not going to be. It was like a 20% chance of rain.
On Sunday?
So I think we're okay for Sunday, yeah.
Okay.
Mostly cloudy, upper 50s.
Yeah, be overcast and a little bit gloomy all week, it would appear. At Jacksonville.
Sorry, I'm actually just checking Sunday's weather.
Also, by the way, Jeffrey tweets in that ESPN was showing In the Hunt yesterday, so I guess
we can't use it. Get out. You cannot show In the Hunt before November 1st.
Here we are.
Jiminy. Sunday, 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, 57.
Sounds good.
Jacksonville, shouldn't be a problem. You know, although I tell you what, I caught the Jacksonville game against Miami in London. I wasn't there. I watched it on TV. And I thought Trevor Lawrence actually looked good. I thought he got better over the course of the game. He seemed to be making good throws, pretty good decision-making. Again, and not a lot of complicated stuff. Just get the ball out, make the right decision, find the first read, and get it out of your hand, which I thought he did a good job at. James Robinson is tough to handle. I think they just lost DJ Chark, right, for the season. I wouldn't expect that one to be a battle, so I would take the Bills, and I think we're pretty stress-free on that one.
All right. Win. Then at the Jets. Third straight Sunday 1 o'clock game.
Who's
third
the quarterback, though?
I mean, Joe Flacco, boy.
Mike White, Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson, is he back? Robert Saleh didn't rule him out for that game, said he could be back for that one. And would it matter? You know, the Jets' offense is just a wreck right now. It really is. I think that when he's been in there, Wilson's been taking a pounding. The defense hasn't been playing that badly. But, again, still, I mean, I don't see how the Jets' offense – I don't know what they're going to put up against the Bills' defense. I mean, you should be able to hold those guys to, like, one touchdown. So I think that the Bills, of course, should win. And, I mean, these next three games should be fairly easy for them.
Huge spreads, too.
Let's see. Miami's 13.5, so what would the Jets be?
I mean, it's on the road.
Yeah, but,
And the Jets
over 10, right?
It probably is 10.
All right, because it's a road game. All right.
Yeah, maybe more if it's Flacco. Maybe more. All right, so three straight wins, looking good, cruising, home Indianapolis. This is the next home game after this one coming this week. Yeah. Indianapolis, a 1 o'clock game the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
I still think it's a win. I know I got to go read the piece. I guess Tyler Dunn did a piece for his Go Long site about Wentz playing well the other day, and maybe he's seemingly getting a little bit more comfortable in their offense, and there are some weapons that certainly you'd worry about on their offense, and their defense is good, but I would still say it's a win. That was a game when the schedule came out, I think I might even have picked them to lose once or twice against the Colts. I'll make it a win. Let me see how the Colts look in the next few games. They have a big game this Sunday.
Mm-hmm,
if they have
Tennessee.
Any prayers of that division, of staying in that division race, they have to beat the Titans this Sunday. If they beat them, I'll revisit the Colts game. For now, let's leave it as a win for the Bills.
Win for the Bills. Then, Thanksgiving night, the Bills will play at New Orleans. The Saints have a winning record. They might be very well alive for postseason, all that stuff. So it could be a tough road environment, right? It could be a tough building to play in. That said, I'm just going to say this. The Saints are terrible.
Boy, what the
they
hell?
Are horrid offensively.
Right, not defensively,
and
offensively.
If the Bills key in on Alvin Kamara and let him get his 10 catches for and keep him to, I don't know, like 40 yards – it's tough. Kamara's still good. But it's all they've got going.
Right.
And I have a – there's no way they lose to that team.
Well, I'm not going to pick them to lose because I feel like you would drive down here and beat me
I'll
up.
I'll be upset.
Yeah.
Be very
so
upset.
I'll take the Bills to beat the Saints.
All right. Bills beat the Saints. Week 13, Bills home Monday night against the New England Patriots. Look out. They just put up 54.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you like the Patriots who – I mean, they don't beat a lot of teams these days, but they beat the Jets. Jets, like the Jets are in the boxing ring, they're not going to stop swinging. We need points. 54, put up every single point you can, you know.
Go look up. I'll see if I can find it before the segment's over. But I think the Patriots have won like 12 straight against the Jets now, 12 or 13 straight, something like that. Come on. Let's be serious here. All right, I am actually looking forward to that game because I want to see – you know, Mac Jones and all this other stuff, and are the Patriots going to be a tough out and all that? I think the Bills are going to win.
Will there be a Manning cast?
Oh, we don't know their schedule that far in advance, do we?
No, we don't.
I'll have to DVR that one.
I hope so.
I can't watch it live. Well, you know what? If it's a blowout, if the Bills are winning easy, I suppose I could turn over to the Manning cast in the second half. Anyway, the Bills beat the Patriots.
All right.
Apparently that's gone over well at home.
It has. Yes, very well. So another win over the Patriots Monday Night Football at Tampa to face Tom Terrific and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He gave great insight on the Manning cast last night on the difficult defenses. So Peyton basically asked him, Tom, what's a bigger challenge for you? A defense that's very talented and you know what they're going to do, or a defense that maybe doesn't have that talent but is going to make you work harder mentally, they're throwing stuff at you and this and that. And Brady – it was really interesting to hear Brady just pull right out of the top of his head the early 2000s Dolphins, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas.
Yeah.
He said, that team, we knew everything they were going to do all the time, but I had a tough time beating them.
Interesting.
Because they were so talented. The defense was so good on a man-to-man level. And then he said his comparison later on was, then, you know, you had later 2000s, Rex Ryan. Those defenses were really tough to kind of break down. I think he's talking about his Jets time, maybe not his
right
time.
I figured he meant because they did beat him in the playoffs once.
It was really interesting to hear Brady get like talk about the different types of defenses he's faced, the different struggles he's had. He hasn't had any struggles, but just you know, he definitely gave a little hat tip to Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and those Dolphins defenses.
Hopefully the Bills will do a little bit of both this year, that they're, even if you knew what they were coming, they'd be good enough to still beat you, or you know, maybe they'll disguise some stuff and make him work a little bit in that game. Either way, I'm not going to pick against the Bucs. I'll keep that one a Tampa win for now. They're just a really talented football team, good on offense, good on defense, good coaching, good all around. So I'll take Tampa there.
Game to be flexed. Carolina is week 15. Could
Yikes.
Be a Saturday.
Ugh.
Could be a Sunday. It'll be a home game against Carolina, who started out looking very strong. Maybe they have Deshaun Watson on their team by now. They're in the running for him.
Yeah.
They gave up a second, a fourth, and a sixth for Sam Darnold. And that's not going well.
No, it isn't. And I'm not sure that he'll be the court. I don't know who the heck would be the quarterback.
PJ Walker.
Okay, that's the kid from, what, the XFL or Alliance, whatever. Yeah, you're probably right. Doesn't matter. Yeah, the Carolina success story has taken a huge turn for the worse, and the Bills will win that game no matter who the quarterback is. I don't think it'll be Deshaun Watson, even if they trade for him, but you never know what the NFL's thinking at this point.
Okay, another win. Then, at New England, day after Christmas, Bills and Patriots for the second time.
Tough game, but the better team will win again for now. I have to be convinced thoroughly that New England is a team that could beat the Bills. I'm not convinced. I'm convinced they could beat Houston and the Jets. So
you might take the Patriots with the points in this game, though, depending on what the spread is. Of
Maybe.
Course. I mean,
we'll see.
They're playing good teams close.
Yeah, Dallas.
They're losing,
sure,
but they're playing good teams close.
Sure. Played Dallas closer than I thought.
Tampa closer. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Win at New England. Atlanta, home Atlanta.
You know,
it'll be the Kyle Pitts show by then.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was thinking about this morning, Jeremy, because after what you said about New Orleans, could Atlanta finish second in that division?
I don't think so.
They're playing better lately, but it's who I know they've beaten bad teams, so I'm not getting too carried away. But the way New Orleans is struggling on offense, I was wondering if it possible Atlanta would basically back into second place. I don't think the Bills are losing to the Falcons no matter what. I will take a win over there. But in Atlanta, sneaky second place pick maybe because New Orleans is so
out of their division. The Falcons play the Cowboys, the Patriots.
Check their schedule. I was going to do that.
The Lions and the Niners.
All right.
Because what I'm thinking about is I know everybody's a pro here, but something about Week 17, if they're out of it, an Atlanta team coming to Buffalo on January 2nd is going to want to get on the bus.
No, they're going to love being here that day. They're going to be fired up for that game. They're going to be playing like their – what's the hair on fire terminology?
They're going to hope their hair's on fire for the warmth.
No dome. That's right. Someone tell them there's still no dome here.
Okay, so you get a win there. Yeah. Week 18 is the Jets. Also, the Bills, this is just going to be the stat of the day for me and a stat of the year. The Bills could play four January home games.
Mm-mm. Wow.
January 2nd, 9th, and a bye, and then 16 and 23. The 23rd and the 30th. They could also feasibly play five January home games. If they're the 2 seed, they would play on the 16th.
Yep.
And if the 1 seed were to lose, you'd come here.
Three home playoff games.
Right.
Wow.
It could be five straight Sundays of Bills games at the stadium. Mm. That is in the cards as a possibility.
That is a lot of tailgating. That's some serious use of your camper.
What would we even do with ourselves? Five in one month.
I was going to say you might get, oh, God, I got to go to the stadium again. But, hey, the last three are playoff games, so I don't think you'll mind.
If it's in the cards, the Bills might want to offer some sort of weekly stay package. You just leave your car.
Sleep there.
Leave your grill.
Yeah.
Leave your bus, whatever you've got. Hey, just you can park it for the next month.
Maybe you'll pledge to do this show from the Bills stadium as long as they stay alive in the playoffs.
Sure.
You're not sitting on a ledge on a restaurant somewhere. A billboard. I'm going to do my show from Orchard Park at the stadium as long as the Bills are alive in the playoffs. There you go. That's your pledge.
Love it.
Done. I'll take a win.
Win.
Yeah.
So only one more loss this season.
Yeah.
Only Tampa. They're going to win every other game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a question about the schedule, though, when we get back.
But I guess the point here is that the Tennessee game didn't get you off of anything about them.
Should be Tennessee. No. More impressed, actually, with Tennessee. I'm factoring Tennessee more into the discussion in the conference than I did, but I don't feel any less optimistic about the Bills than I would have before that game.
Yep.
Picking the Bills, brought to you by Admar Construction and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. Follow up on the schedule in a moment. And Matthew Beauvais from Channel 7 going to join us at 9:05 on WGR. Updated stat for you. Actually, I get to the stat. We just brought it up. I did the research real quick. Sean McDermott's Bills teams coming out of the bye are unbeaten. 4-0. We'll give a quick test of Jeremy's memory here.
Okay.
2017, you give me one thing you remember about each game.
All right.
2017, they beat Tampa 30-27. Remember anything from that game?
Yes. They won late because Jameis Winston completed a pass to a receiver who fumbled.
Yep.
It was 27-27. The Bills recover the fumble, kick the field goal to win.
Was Trey? I'm trying to think who would have was involved in that fumble. Why do I think Trey's in my head? You'd know better than
that. It very well could have been Trey because that's his rookie season, and we start to notice how many plays that guy makes.
2018 out of the bye, they beat Jacksonville 24-21. That's the Fournette game, right? Is that the fight game with Shaq?
Yes. Yes, right? I guess that's right. The Fournette game with Shaq Lawson.
The crazy no-touchdown backup from first and goal. What else? Oh, 2019. They beat Miami 31-21.
That would have been.
Is that the game they were losing into the fourth?
Where you got to tell me where it is.
Hang on. I got to go back and open up the window. Give me a second.
That's the one. No, they're not losing in the fourth.
Which one? I'm trying to remember that game.
That was a
home game. October 20th, home game Miami. They had beaten Tennessee going to the bye, came out and beat Miami out of the break. I have nothing from that game I can recall.
I'm going to guess Josh threw for a bunch of yards and ran and jumped over people.
Three.
He tends to do that.
No, you know what it says here? He only had 188 yards passing.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Yeah, I got nothing.
Give me one touchdown from that game. What do you got? Anything?
Okay, hang on. I'll pull up the box score.
Is there a Vontae Davis sighting
okay,
or something?
Okay, Hauschka had a whole bunch of field goals. 20-yard pass to John Brown for a touchdown. 3-yard pass to Beasley. Wow, Fitz had a rushing touchdown in that game.
Oh, Fitz.
Oh,
is
Micah
in.
Hyde, the kickoff return on the onside kick.
The spinning onside kick.
Yes.
Okay.
That was that game. And then last year was the Chargers game. They won 27-17.
Yep.
So there you go. 4-0
out of the bye.
That's right. When we get back, we'll talk mostly football. We'll throw a quick Sabres question, too, at our good friend Matthew Bove, Channel 7, WKBW-TV. He's on the way in a moment. 803-0550 for you to join us on the show on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.